You're listening to continuing coverage of the Abby Zwirner civil trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
All right, you ready to call your next witness?
We are, Your Honor. Minor issue beforehand.
All right.
Your Honor, there was a colloquy before we, I think, went on recess earlier about how Your Honor had previously ruled on the motion regarding collateral source, the GoFundMe shirt fundraiser, that kind of stuff. I'm looking at the transcript, and there's, I think, a disagreement of as the scope, and we're raising an issue that we think is distinct from that, but is related legal grounds.
All right, let me get my notes.
Yes, Your Honor.
That was, I believe, plaintiff's 5 text messages and gratuitous contributions.
Correct, Your Honor.
That was the 5th motion we took up that day. And for the record, that was October the 16th of this year. All right, go ahead and tell me the issue here.
Yes, Your Honor. And for context, if it helps, page 153 of that court transcript has Your Honor's ruling, which is, I'm going to deny the motion to exclude the question about whether someone did or didn't contribute, but I'm going to grant it as to any amount. So what we're dealing with now is the next witness is Ms. Zwirner's sister. And what I now learn from defense counsel, which is a different evidentiary issue, the question isn't did you or didn't you contribute, which Your Honor has already ruled upon. The question is, did you create a GoFundMe page? Did you create a shirt fundraiser page? Did you create these things? Our concern here is, of course, the sister, in the context of someone who is not related to Ms. Zwirner, has inherent bias baked into the relationship of the individual. And there is going to be testimony as it relates to things that she did to benefit the plaintiff as a result of this injury, whether it's shirt fundraisers or GoFundMes or whatever it might be. If we venture into the area of talking more detail about what was the shirt fundraiser, how much were people charging for the shirt fundraiser, things of that nature, we're getting very close to this collateral source issue.
Right. Yeah, I'm not allowing that. I agree. We're not talking about money. I've made that clear. You can ask her. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to overrule your objection as to asking her, did she create these things? But that's it.
Your Honor, that was my plan,
okay.
And I looked at the transcript from before, and I very clearly said I would like to ask this witness, did you create a GoFundMe, and did you create a T-shirt site?
Okay.
And are those still active? That's it.
Okay.
No yeah. Amounts.
Right. And
no
I think
amounts, the cost of the T-shirt, anything.
Right. And once again, I have no problem with you bringing this up ahead of time. I appreciate it. I understand your objections to that, and those are preserved from the October 16th hearing. But as long as we're clear on what we can and can't ask, and I think we are now, then I think, are we otherwise ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
All right, anything else you wanted to put on the record about
no,
that? Okay. All right, call your next witness. And we'll bring them in. We're not going to forget them. Come on up, Ms. Warren.
Come forward. Let me get you stand right here. Face the clerk. Raise your right hand.
Do you swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that you got?
I do.
All right. Sit up. Watch your step. Step up. Take your time.
May it please the court. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you go ahead and introduce yourself to the jury?
Hi, I'm Hannah Zwerner. I'm Abby's twin sister.
And Hannah, I am going to show you a roadmap that I promised you. And if we can publish this to the jury. It's an old one. It's not the right one. Always technical difficulties. Well, that's up. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. You a little nervous?
Yeah.
I know that you were planning to testify tomorrow and made it over here today, so thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So, we've got a roadmap in front of you now, and this is just the three buckets of stuff we're going to talk about, okay?
Yeah.
And I drew two roads because the two of you kind of twinned together and you started. And then we're going to talk about growing together. And then we're going to talk about life today, okay?
Yeah.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, natural question for twins. Who was first? Who was second? I heard Abby's the middle child, so tell us about that.
Yeah, Abby is 8 minutes older. We do like to joke that, well, I joke, it was the best 8 minutes ever, just stretching out before I was pulled out into this world. So she is 8 minutes older, but I am a couple inches taller.
And that's, you're balancing.
Yeah.
Between the two of that.
Yeah.
And growing up, were you the type of twins that dressed the same, mom put you in the same clothes to school, or how did you guys handle that?
I can confirm there are pictures of us when we're like toddlers dressing similar. However, when we grew up, I really wanted to dress alike. I don't think I understood that there's a difference between identical and fraternal twins. She did not want to dress the same as me.
And as you were growing older, you also had an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And your older brother, as we learned, was 16 months older than you all.
Yeah.
And I just object to the relevance of this.
All right. Can we move on?
Sure, Judge.
All right. Thank you.
And during those times growing up in early in life, did the three of you grow a bond together where you could understand who Abby is as a person and how she changed through the years?
Yeah, I mean, we've built a lifetime of memories together. We're very close. I think she's even more than my best friend. She's my sister.
And as you all grew older through middle school and high school, tell me about your desire to stay close to Abby and Abby's desire to make a name for herself.
I think I always wanted to be more like Abby. If she did something, I wanted to do it. But yeah, as we got older, you kind of want to figure out who you are. So while we are very similar, I think we're different as well.
And when it came time to choose where to go to college, had you all gone to school together up until that point in time?
Yes.
And then what was the decision that you all made at the time of college?
I could not go to the same college as her.
And that was her instruction?
Yes.
And where did Abby decide to go?
James Madison, and she loved it there.
And where did you go?
Christopher Newport.
And did you have things in common in terms of sporting teams and things that you liked?
Your Honor, I'm going to, again, object to the relevance of that.
What is the relevance?
Your Honor, ultimately, we're asking this jury to understand the difference between Abigail Zwerner before and after January 6th. And in order to illustrate how she, if at all, has changed, we have to first get an understanding of the foundation of the witness to be able to demonstrate her knowledge of the individual, describe what life was like beforehand, and then differentiate those experiences after the fact.
All right. Overruled. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, we can go to what's been pre-marked as 90C. And we'll just show that to the counsel. It's already been shown to counsel before, but just in case, Your Honor. You see that up on the screen?
Yeah.
All right. That's a picture of your sister?
Yeah. We were an Orioles family growing up. We went to games. We watched them together. And that's definitely my shirt. Yeah, she's sitting in her classroom. I helped her put some of those things up. She's very particular about the way that she wanted her decorations.
Permission to publish, Your Honor, and I'd move it into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
That's your jersey, huh?
Yeah.
So, as you all were getting older and she started teaching, she moved back to town, right? Back to the peninsula.
Yeah.
And did you two live together?
Yeah, we did. While she was finishing up James Madison, I was in Florida, but moved back, and we were both teaching at the same time, living together, yes.
And when you all were teaching, obviously out at work, you come back home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Would you guys spend time together in the living room?
Yeah, every single evening. So I was a high school English teacher, she was an elementary school teacher, and she had like mountains of paperwork. She would hook up to the printer in our living room and print things for lessons the next day, and I just remember thinking, she's so dedicated, and I just never brought work home. That's just, you know, how the two of us were different. Every single evening, she would be on her laptop prepping for the next day. She went to work early. She came back after hours. Yeah, that was our life.
And when she wasn't sitting on the chair in the living room with the printer, what did Abby like to do?
Hang out with friends, go out shopping. She could never sit still. She always wanted to get out and do things.
Was she a book by the fire kind of person on the weekends?
That's me.
And growing up, was that always how she was?
Mm-hmm.
Did you all go to amusement parks like Busch Gardens and things like that as a kid?
Yeah, and Abby was always the one to stay behind. Always kind of timid. While my brother and I would, you know, go on the roller coasters, she was fine with the teacups. If we were going to Virginia Beach, my brother and I would go into the water and she would stay behind, always observant and timid and watching, but always present.
And in your interactions with Abby, as twins or just as sisters, did you two grow to develop an unspoken bond?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
We can look at each other and know exactly what the other person is thinking. She's agreeing right now, I can tell you that. Yeah, I mean, like I said, when you've been with somebody your entire life, like, I've never been in this world without her.
Your Honor, again, I'm going to object. We're getting far afield of anything that's relevant. Ms. Zwerner's feelings are not at issue here. It's about her sister.
I disagree, Your Honor. I think ultimately we're putting on a case tomorrow about an evaluation, a psychiatric evaluation, and to lay the foundation of the differences and the changes in her demeanor, who she is, how she shows up in this world, who better than the person who's lived with her their entire life but 8 minutes.
Right. Let's move it along to those topics.
Yes, Judge.
Right.
So, when you spend time with Abby and before this time, I'm going to show you a video, if you can. This is 90D.
Which number is it?
90D as in dog. Yes, please. You see that picture of her, or
mm-hmm.
video, I should say?
Yeah.
What does that remind you of your sister for January 6,
2023? Full of light and spark and just so outgoing and just silly.
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 I'm going to change gears and talk about after January 6th.
Okay.
You said that that was silly,
mm-hmm.
full of light. Can you tell us about that light in Abby today?
It's still there. It is very dimmed.
And it's dimmed like what?
She's just not the person that she was. I feel like she's kind of lost her sense of direction in a way. She doesn't want to go out anymore. I don't talk to her as much as we used to. We talked about the unspoken twin language, and I don't know what she's thinking all the time. And I think that she had a lot to be excited about, and she doesn't anymore. And so that light has kind of dimmed.
And are there times since January 6th where you've looked at your sister and you felt like you can't read?
Yeah. She doesn't want to talk about things. She doesn't share them with us.
And in your impression of your sister, is she a people pleaser?
Yeah. She wants everyone to be happy and doesn't worry about herself, but worries about everyone else.
And when you say she's keeping stuff to herself, tell me what that looks like when you see it in the real world.
Just shutting down, becoming more reclusive. It's like a wall is put up between her and the rest of the world.
And before January 6th, 2023, did you ever feel like that wall was ever between you and your sister?
No.
Do you feel like there is a wall, however tall it might be, between you and her now?
Yeah, we're working on it, but it's there.
You said earlier that she's sort of reclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked before about sort of her demeanor to not be the person to grab a book and sit by the fire.
Yeah.
How has that changed since January 6th?
She doesn't leave the house. It's very hard to get her to go out and do things, and if she does, someone has to be with her. She's really afraid of being alone.
And when she's out and about, because she is sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And you see her, do you see that same light, that same color in Abby that you used to see?
No.
Can you tell us what you do see?
Someone who is scared but trying to be strong for other people.
Is that what you see today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Hannah. Those are all the questions I have.
Thanks.
All right.
Just a few questions.
Cross-examination.
Thank you.
You've told the jury that your sister's been more reclusive and withdrawn from the community.
Yes.
You have put your sister out in the community through fundraising websites, haven't you?
Yes.
You created a GoFundMe page.
I did.
And it has Abby's picture on it, correct?
Yes.
It puts her story out in
yes.
the internet.
That's correct.
And you all also have a website to sell T-shirts.
That's correct.
And again, you put your sister's story out in the universe and make her available.
That is correct. It was not without her permission, if that's...
So she allowed that. And you talk about that your sister doesn't want to go anywhere. Have you given your sister any gifts of concert tickets? And where was that?
Did I drained my bank account to take her to Taylor Swift.
So she was able to go to Taylor Swift?
Yes.
And
it was not without its own challenges.
That's a pretty large crowd?
It was.
Where was it?
Philadelphia.
The Eras Tour in Philadelphia?
That's correct.
And your sister was able to go do that?
Like I said, yes, but it was not without its challenges.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you.
Any follow-up?
Yeah, you're on.
All right. Is she excused?
She is, and similar to Mrs. Warner, we'd ask that she be permitted to remain in the courtroom if she wished.
Is she under your subpoena, Ms. Douglas, at all?
She is not.
Okay. All right. Then you are excused from court. However, you may stay in courtroom to listen. All right. Thank you. All right. Are you moving 96 and 90D into evidence?
It was 90C and 90D, and yes, Your Honor.
All right. Any objection to those two?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Those are admitted. All right.
No other witnesses. Early release again.
All right.
We were ahead of schedule, Your Honor. We have two witnesses tomorrow morning on the plaintiff's side that we intend to call.
All right. And then is that who you are you planning to arrest after that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. And then will the defense have witnesses ready to proceed in the afternoon tomorrow?
Judge, we're attempting to coordinate some potential witnesses who might be available. That's in the works, and we'll try to provide an update as quickly as possible to opposing counsel.
Thank you very much. I'd like to get as much done as we can because I do want to try to have an early release on Friday for Halloween, get everyone home to either their kids or handing out candy.
Your Honor, I don't think that would be an issue at all because we certainly won't be able to fill the day on Friday, and I wanted the court's indulgence. We talked about that yesterday.
Okay, very good. I'm not going to recess court. I am going to excuse the jury, however. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we're going to take our break for the day, and we will start fresh tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Again. So get a good night's rest, and as you've heard me three times already, I guess, but I will read it again. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we are recessing now for our evening. I ask that you be back in my courtroom back upstairs at the main building at 9 a.m. during this break or recess in this course of this trial. You are not to begin discussion of any aspects of this case. Upon your return, you are requested to go immediately back to our courtroom and not loiter in the halls. You are not to engage in any conversation with any of the parties, the witnesses, the attorneys, or the spectators. You are not to go to the scene of the case or undertake any independent investigation using any means whatsoever, radio, television, internet. No one should approach you and discuss this matter, and you should not remain within hearing distance of anyone discussing it. Of course, that includes viewing newspapers or television or listening to the radio. You must also leave your notepads and any notes you have taken with my sheriff. Once again, no one will look at them, and they will be destroyed at the end of the trial. If you are approached by anyone concerning your jury service during the course of this trial, make that fact known to me and my bailiff. I will see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a good evening.
Please bring your notebook.
Everyone may be seated. In anticipation of the defense experts being called on Monday, is that where?
It is, Your Honor.
Okay. Were any of the reports prepared by those experts? Were any reports prepared by your experts?
Yes, actually, Dr. Hagen does have a report.
Okay.
But there's no motion in limine related to his testimony.
Okay. And that was disclosed to plaintiff's counsel?
Of course, Your Honor.
Okay. Was it filed in any manner with the court at all?
No.
Okay.
Discovery was not. Because it's discovery, it's not filed with the court.
Okay. I just wanted to find out. All right. Very well. Then we will be in recess until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Your Honor, may I correct that? It may have been filed in response to the motion in limine. Would you like me to check and determine?
I mean, if it was filed, we'll look for it. I just didn't know where we should look for it. If it was, it would be in your motion in limine?
Yes, Your Honor. Because it was Dr. Hagen, the forensic psychologist, and he did not was not subject to a motion in limine by the plaintiff, I may not have included it.
Right.
But I certainly included the designation. I'm not sure. I don't think there's any objection to Dr. Hagen's testimony. I think the only issue left will be our forensic psychiatrist, and there's some objection, I think, to that.
Okay. All right. I guess I would just ask you to provide me any evidence so I can work on it this weekend that you think you'll be presenting in support of the motions.
Okay.
Anything that'll help me.
Your Honor, I just handed opposing counsel. It's just a bound version of all of the expert reports and CVs from defense.
Right.
It's an extra copy of ours. If it's easy for the court and they're agreeable, we're happy to provide that to the court for Your Honor's ease.
Did you want to look through them, Ms. Douglas?
I will look through it, and I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay.
I'm happy to give it to the court.
All right, great. If there's no objection to that, I'll let you have a minute to look through it, and then you can hand it to Deputy Hopkins, and I'll take it, not to be marked as anything, but just for my knowledge and some so I can work on it.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, anything else to take up before we break?
No, Your Honor.
All right, court is in recess until 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Yes, Your Honor.
More continuing coverage of the Abby Zwirner civil trial is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.